That is to understand truly the principle of love. Fundies often at least give you the impression they think that all God is one big love machine. Yeah. And hence their rationalization of why you should condone certain activity in regards to people over the principle of love. Yeah, little Johnny just murdered six people, but I'm his mom and I love him and I'm poor and I'm going to support him from now on. You need to execute that kid. Yeah. The mom should live. It doesn't mean you don't love. It just means you recognize the righteous principles that are associated with his activity. The love becomes simply that modeling emotional approach regards to things. So the doctrine of love strips us of that type of thinking. When you let that type of thinking run your life, then look out, because you're getting ready for a fall. Sooner or later, it will come, just like it did with Jacob. So one, preliminary considerations. Love is described in Scripture as an attribute expressed by both God and man. B, in both cases, for this attribute to be expressed, there must be an object, animate or inanimate, towards which to express. To love demands that there is something to love. And it can be animate or inanimate. It can be a pet, a person, or a thing, a detail. C, it is the expression or assertion of love in the Bible that proves to be complex in understanding of its application. For us, not so complex, because we've been oriented to it. But for the absence of knowledge of true love in the world, it is complex. So, D, there are three distinct levels of application of love taught in Scripture. One, there's sexual love, which is only appropriate between husband and wife. Two, there is affectionate or brotherly love, or we might call it natural love, a natural affinity of affection towards someone. Three, then there is the highest category of love, divine love. E, of these three levels of application, it is divine love that completes all other love and ultimately places love within the parameters of divine viewpoint and obedience to God to ensure that the love is not being abused or misused in its expression otherwise. The love is not what governs all of our actions with respect to others around us or things. You love your enemy, he'll come back and bite you in the ass big time if you're a donkey farmer. Two, vocabulary. A, in the Hebrew, the word we just, family words we just saw in regards to Jacob and Rachel, one is ahev, the verb, A-H-E-V. The root meaning of this word is to desire, to pant after, a lust, to long for, to love. Is translated beloved, dearly loved, friend, and lover. It's used of God only in a good sense. It's used of men in both a good and bad context, sinful and righteous. Two, then you have the noun, ahava, A-H-A-V-A-H. It's a cognate, again, family, in the family of words that I have. It means love or love sick. Three are noun dod, D-O-D. That means love, lover, or beloved. It's used of an object of love, a loved one, such as a relative. Four, you have the verb kashak, C-H-A-S-H-A-Q. The root meaning of that verb is to be attached to be joined together, to cleave. Translated longs, loved, or pleased. And we'll see some more of these words coming up in the text. Five, you have the verb agav, A-G-A-B. That is to have inordinate affection, to lust after. It's used of love for idolatry. Example there is Ezekiel 23, verses 5, 7, and 9. Israel personified essentially here, two women, the daughters of one mother. Verse 2, they played the harlot in Egypt, played the harlot in their youth. That is, they whored around, promiscuous, sexually promiscuous. Their breasts were pressed, and that their virgin bosom was handled. And there their virgin bosom was handled. And their names were Oholah. The elder, that's the northern kingdom, Israel, and Oholibah, her sister, that's Judah. And they became mine, God's people, God's children. And they bore sons and daughters. That's where their name, Samaria, is Ohola, and Jerusalem is Oholiah, Oholibah. In verse 5, for our intents and purposes, no. Oholah played the harlot while she was mine, and she lusted after her neighbors, after the Assyrians, her neighbors. Our word lusted, sinful drive of desiring that which is not designed to be theirs. In verse 7, the word used again there, and she bestowed her harlotries on them, all of whom were the choicest men of Assyria, with all whom she lusted after, with all her idols she defiled herself. To pursue negative volition, those steeped in religiosity, not truly interested in God's plan under Bible doctrine, etc. What drives people that way is not a doctrinal propensity of like-mindedness, a positive volition, and a soul to match the positive volition. It is the flesh that drives. See? It's the flesh that drives. When those things are removed from the equation of looking for the relationship. In verse 9, therefore I gave her into the hand of her lovers, into the hand of the Assyrians, the fall of the northern kingdom, Israel, in 721 B.C., after whom she lusted. So, six, then our noun Chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D, it means goodness or kindness. Is translated loyalty, loyal love, called loving kindness, faithfulness, faithful love, unchanging love. Is probably the closest Hebrew word we have for divine love in that respect. Though these terms could all be used of God. Be then in the Greek, the Greek is more technical, generally, in regards to language. The Hebrew is fairly simple, as we've seen. It's very artistic, very expressive, colorful. Words can take on a nuance of meaning, the same word, which we have the same thing in our own language, but the Hebrew is fairly simple. Greek is very technical. It leaves you essentially no doubt what's going on in regards to this grammar. So Greek is where we truly see the defining definitions, the specific definitions in regards to love. One, there are only two word groups in the New Testament that define love. Two, it is through the use of these two families of words that one draws a distinction and nuance of their application. The first three is your family of words, phileo being the verb. That means to love, to have affection for something or someone. It is this family of words that looks at the attributes, the assets of the object of love, is that which stimulates the love from the individual towards them. Rachel being voluptuous and beautiful, that is the assets that Jacob looked at and why he loved her. So four, you have the noun, same family, philia. That simply means friendship or affection. Maybe love for a brother or a sister, both blood relatives as well as in friendship and things of that nature, the terms used. Five, you have the noun philos, translated a friend, and simply love. You have the noun Philadelphia, from where Pennsylvania gets her name, the city in Pennsylvania. Philadelphia. It means brotherly love, the city of brotherly love. Yeah, right. Love of the brothers. Seven, it is the above word group, looks to the attributes of the one to whom love is expressed. That's what governs the love. Eight, then the other class of words is the agapao family of words. A-G-A-P-A-O being the verb. It means to love. It's used primarily of God's love. It may or may not include affection or an emotional attachment. It denotes a commitment, hence chesed, fidelity, sacrifice, and obedience toward the object. It is used technically for application of Bible doctrine under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. That is the only way that you can apply divine love. Being in fellowship. Isolation is sin nature. And it is obviously an attribute that is made possible through the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit in our lives with doctrine. Then you have the noun agape. Usually that word is plastered all over the Dundee billboards. A-G-A-P-E. We notice an abused word in the fundamentalist world. They have really no inkling of what it really means. They take it and they dilute it in regards to its righteous character to simply be an expression of the phileo type of love. And then that means they take all the verses out of context in regards to the translation and interpretation of this word that it's used in. So you see why the confusion. So an abused word in the fundamentalist world, it means love. Point 9. It has the same nuance as agapao and is used for divine love. This love is not sentimental, maudlin, gushy, syrupy, all synonyms of emotionalism attached to the expression of love. In application. But is the overt expression of divine good. What would Jesus do? See, in his love. It is divine good. That's what he does. Always divine good. Always in line with the truth of doctrine. Romans 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy. That's agape, divine love. So two things we can associate with hypocrisy in orientation our Christian life. There is no hypocrisy in divine love, in application of Bible doctrine under the filling of God the Holy Spirit. And there is no hypocrisy in the truth. See. So if you're seeing hypocrisy thrown into the mix of people's expression of so-called love, then you know it's fake. It's just a ploy. It's not true love that comes from God, that God sponsors. And it can be seen in regards to one's actions, and it can be seen in regards to one's words, hence truth and divine love. So, you want to be discerning in regards to people? Keep your ears open, your eyes open. Ears unplugged, I guess. Eyes open. And listen. And watch. And learn. And take captive every thought. And over time, you'll have a good read on people. See? So, point 9, continuing on here. Again, when this agape love is applied to men, it is love produced from Bible doctrine in the soul in the filling of the Holy Spirit. In regards to its association with the divine good. Now this word can be used in a bad sense. We've seen that in the Gospel of John. 10, this word group emphasizes love based on the attributes of the one expressing love, not dependent upon the attributes to whom love is expressed. So God's love, under divine love, obviously falls within the parameters of all of His other attributes. His love will never transcend, transgress His righteousness or His justice. Love is never to overrule what is right and what is wrong. That's what I learned from God. His righteousness always prevails. It's the watchdog of all of His other attributes. And hence, the love that is expressed also must be fair. It must be impartial. And it must be within the parameters of His righteousness, obviously, which includes His veracity. In tune with the truth of the teaching of God. And if it goes outside those parameters, then it's not divine in nature. So 11, it is in the gospel accounts that the clear distinction of nuance between phileo and agape love is presented. Again, John's a good book to recognize these words. to study them. At John 15:13, recalling way back when, some almost 20 years ago, as Jesus teaches, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. All the terms of love there are your agapao word group. Friends is phileo, the other word group. So the agape love is seen there as an application of sacrifice. Philos is translated as friends. It denotes those whom the one who makes a sacrifice towards as being someone with whom there is a natural affection or emotional tie. So that shows you the distinction between the two class and family of words. Then we have John 21:15-17, another good passage to make distinct the nuances of the love. Here, John 21:15, where Jesus confronts Peter, Simon Peter. And he finished breakfast. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, verse 18, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. See, the English doesn't make a differentiation in here. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. So that's what the fundies get for not doing their homework. Don't do your homework and you fall for all the BS that floats around out there in the Christian world. Shepherd my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know all these things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. So, in those verses, the word love in Jesus' question to Peter in verses 15 and 16 is the agapao family of words. While Peter's response is phileo, which in and of itself is not necessarily erroneous, because Jesus is definitely one that you can love for his attributes. See. But this is not where Jesus is driving at. He wants Peter to express his love in the same way that Jesus expresses his love with his own divine attributes. See. So, in verse 17, there, Jesus changes love in his question to phileo love to emphasize that Peter's affection is okay, but not the true divine love that he is speaking of unless Peter fulfills the imperatives Jesus has presented. For him as a communicator, it is his responsibility is to shepherd sheep in its metaphorical sense as a communicator of Bible doctrine, and to otherwise apply all that is necessary in his apostolic role for him under his spiritual gift in the early church. And then, finally, 12 here. There is no Greek word used in the New Testament to express sexual love. However, eros, E-R-O-S, the Greek word for sexual love, there is a word for it, just not used in the New Testament. It is used in the Septuagint. That's the Greek translation of the Old Testament. In Proverbs 7:18, there is translated caresses and denotes sexual enjoyment. The Hebrew word in comparison is dode. And in Proverbs 30:16. Proverbs 7:18. Come, let us drink our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with caresses. That means get physical. So, hence sexual overtone. In Proverbs 30:16, there is translated barren womb. And be a context of present desire for sexual relations in order to produce offspring. Sheol and the barren womb, earth that is never satisfied with water, and fire that never says enough. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us these things. In Jesus' name, amen.